Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Catherine, I'm listening to you here in Lanzarote. It's 26 degrees and clear skies. No sign of Storm Oscar. The Irish have taken over the island. Shout out to all the Irish in Lanzarote and at home. And that comes in from Richie. And you know what? It's good to hear that the sun is shining there, because we're hearing all sorts of stories of it raining in Italy and raining everywhere. And the rest of us are gloating at home. If people are away, you're sending the message. You're sending the pic from the back garden going, it's 24 degrees, lads. Anyway, the sun may not be making an appearance today, but joining me in studio are two rays of sunshine. They've become known as the Irish Camino sisters, Miriam and Joe Donoghue. It's great to see you.
Thank
and
you
are looking
here.
Fabulous, may
Thank
I say.
Thank you, Catherine.
I must mention that there are more of you. There's five sisters in total. Is that
five
right?
Five of us.
Five
yeah.
of you. So two of you representing the chats today.
That's right.
So, well, I suppose let's start at the beginning, because you came from, you come from a big family. There's 10 children. Where did you grow up, and was it Kilkenny?
Yeah.
County Kilkenny.
A small village in Kilkenny called Gorsbridge.
Lovely part of the world.
Beautiful River Barrow near Carlow, your own home patch.
Yeah.
And there were 10, there was 9 children living. Our father, Ned, died age 45 when our mother was 8 months pregnant with her 10th child.
Oh, God.
And at that stage, the eldest was 15. I was the eldest girl. I was 14. Joe was only 3. At that stage. So it was a big family. And sadly, a year and a half after that, our brother Jack died of the measles, age 10. So my mother had to deal with a lot of tragedy, and she was building up a very successful business, Gorsbridge Horse Sales. So I suppose I took the role of, you know, the second mother in terms of being the older responsible sister who had to drag up all the younger ones.
And is your mom still alive?
Kitty is still alive and kicking and listening in, aged 88.
She's Kitty, she's good woman.
She's still the We call her the matriarch. She's still bossing
Rightly
us
so.
Around and terrorising us all. So she's still hale and hearty, thank God.
God, that's a big undertaking. So so she was rearing the ten of you, nine of you, after sadly your brother passed away, and then running the business as
well. Yeah, my father and my mother had started a horse sales business in 1968. It was the first sort of organised horse sales in the country.
Okay.
And it was just really taken off, and my mother took it on, and my brother Martin, when he finished school 2 years after my dad died, he joined the business, and he's running the business today.
Okay. And Joe, you are, Miriam's the eldest.
Yeah.
You're the youngest. Is that why she does all the talking?
She tries to do all the talking, Catherine. You'll find out that I can hold my own.
You can hold your own.
I can hold my own. Yeah, so I'm the youngest girl. There's 2 younger brothers.
Okay.
I was 3 when dad died, and
what do you remember of that time?
Not a huge amount. Like, to be honest, I think, like, I have really good memories of my childhood. Like, and mom is like a powerhouse. She's the most inspirational woman. She's the most generous woman I know in everything, in every way, with her time. And she has a bit of crack. And I think we got that from Mammy, definitely. Like, I mean, we all have a sense of fun. And I think with the Camino experience, we definitely brought that to the Camino as well. Like the bit of crack and the bit of mischief. And
yes.
We could definitely get that from my mam, you know.
And
she's amazing.
I'm not going to get any X-rated stories. What goes on tour stays on tour. You'll only tell me
Absolutely. What
you can.
We have a written contract between us, what we can divulge.
Tell me about the other sisters then, because I suppose what interested me about this was the fact that you were all able to come together. There's such a big age gap between you all. You obviously have an incredible relationship. You've been through so much together. So tell me about the other sisters.
We're so different.
And you're
like,
so different.
You couldn't
okay.
be more different in a way. I'm the youngest.
Start at the bottom. Yeah, you're the youngest.
Yeah, so I'm the youngest. And I work for an organisation called Mental Health Ireland, and massively passionate about mental health. And I have a little 4-year-old. I was late to the game of motherhood, but by God, was it worth it? He's the cutest little thing.
Did you have that horrible sign over your bed as well, like I did, saying geriatric mother?
Yes. Yeah. And very, mine said very geriatric.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, and, you're a different league.
So, that's me. And then Kathy is a public health nurse in Carlow. And Kathy has 2 kids and just a very generous, kind. She's a nurse for a reason, terribly kind person. And then Louise recently went into business. She's an antique dealer. So she has a company. If I don't mention it, she'll kill me. LF Dunhu Antiques. Check it out on Instagram. So Louise is, again, great person. She's got 2 kids. She's living in Salins. And then Mag is a tonic. And actually, after spending 5 days with Mag, that's what I've been saying about her. You would bring her anywhere. She's full of adventure. And Mag has a business as well. She has a trout business in County Kilkenny called Goatsbridge Trout. about, and she's a trailblazer. And Mag has her own challenges at the moment. She's living with cancer, so she wanted to be here today but couldn't. But so she's amazing. And then Miriam, as my mother would say, if I meet anyone, Mammy would say, "Did you tell him who you are?" And I'm like, "Who am I? Miriam's sister." Like, oh, Jesus. So I get that regularly. So I think Maureen can kind of probably introduce herself. She has a long list of achievements behind her, and from
being political correspondent
with the Irish Times to I'm expecting a tenner when I get out of this. I want money for this.
But with the age gap between you guys, like you're the youngest and you're the eldest, Miriam. Obviously, when you go through life and you have four sisters along with you, what an incredible privilege that is. It might not always have felt like that, because I know, well, I have a sister myself, and you go through phases. But I think the older you get, to have that bond with a sister is something really special.
It is very special, and it's only becoming more special, I suppose, in recent years, Catherine, because I was 17 when I left home, having dragged all the siblings up to go to college to do journalism in Dublin. At that stage, Joanne was only six. So I never really knew Joanne or Cathy, who was eight at the time. And if you look at us now, I have a four-year-old granddaughter and Joanne is a four-year-old son.
Okay.
So that's a real example of the sort of the generation gap, I suppose, in a sense. So, you know, I mean, when I was growing older, getting into my 20s, had my children, Joanne and Cathy would have been the babysitters, and we wouldn't have spent much time together. We would have all been going off doing our own things. And I think that's why last October it was Mags, the real inspirational one of the five of us, who said, "Listen, why don't we all do something next May for Cathy's 50th birthday?" And there was also the issue that Mag had this blood cancer, and she has been such a warrior. She went through stem cell. She has been such an inspiration to so many people. She is the fittest of the five of us, and she recently took part in and came 10th in her age group in the World Triathlon Championships in Ibiza. So she is just incredible.
She's hoping to represent Ireland in the World Championship Games in Australia next year, like living with cancer. She's unbelievable.
And but when was she diagnosed with multiple myeloma?
Just over two years ago.
April 2021.
She's a big...
When you get that call or that knock on the door when she does that, or how that happened, what does that do to a family?
To be honest, the way Mag dealt with it really shaped how we as a family coped, because Mag said from the get-go, "No fuss, I have this diagnosis, I'm going to deal with this." And she didn't want any fuss. And I think we dealt with it therefore in a very practical way. But we were there with Mag every step of the way. She was over a month in isolation in St James's Hospital. So she couldn't receive visits. But I remember one day Mag ringing me saying that she had a craving for an egg, the egg rolls that they do in Avoca in Rathcoole. And she couldn't really eat at that stage. So I got in a car, went down to Avoca in Rathcoole, got her an egg sandwich, dropped it into reception, and she managed one or two bites. But that's a way that we were able to support and to help Mag during her journey.
And like when she rang me, she rang me and she led by, "Listen, I have some news, it's not terminal." And I thought, "Oh, Jesus, Mag, what have you got to tell me?" Mm. Do you know, she led in with that. I picked Mag up from the hospital after her stem cell transplant, and she was very weak, and we called in to see Mam on the way home. And my mother's reaction, because it was COVID, so Mam came to the door and Mag had a mask, and Mammy said, "Oh, for God's sake, you did not wear those jeans home from the hospital," because they had a rip. The jeans had a rip. She was like, "Tell me you didn't wear those jeans home from the hospital." And it was just reality, you know, just normal, getting on with it.
So is that strength of character, does that come from your mother?
Oh, yeah. And Mam, I don't know if Mam is listening in now, but she'd be giving out that we weren't giving our dad more kudos, you know.
Okay.
Because she says sometimes we forget about dad, and he wanted to make sure we were all educated, and we were. We, you know, that was one thing that when my dad died, that my mum made sure that she put us all through college. I did try to take a year out, and I was told very quickly that if I wanted to find myself, that she would find me quick enough. And so that was the end of that conversation. conversation. But she would say that my dad had that and the foresight with the business. He took a chance. Like, he was someone who was managing a quarry. He had an idea to set up a horse sales. It's now the largest half-bred international sales in Europe. And that's because of my dad, who had the idea. And then my mom and my brother Martin and my other brothers as well are involved, and we've all been involved in some way or another over the years.
And was Mag always into her health and fitness, or was that since the diagnosis? I mean, to have does she have Everest Base Camp on the list as well?
Yes,
to do?
She has. She's going to Everest Base Camp in October. But her real fitness kick started when she was, I think, 52. She's now 58. She started running and doing cycling and doing the triathlon activities. So when she got her cancer diagnosis, then she found that really helped. And she had one message today was she really is a big believer that in exercise and positive mental health attitude as a medicine, combined with obviously all the other medicines and drugs that you take. And she firmly believes that's carried her on and carried her through what she's going through at the moment. So it really is incredible.
So it was Cathy's 50th. This was the idea. You were all getting together to go to the Camino. Now, between the children, the grandchildren, the fellas, the jobs, the this, the that, how did you manage to hit on a date and a week and
yeah,
a time
I think we
that suited everybody?
We decided in January to go in May.
Okay.
So, you know, we gave ourselves a bit of notice, I suppose. And Mag would have gone the next week. I think in October was a suggestion, and Mag said, let's go before Christmas. And we were like, are you serious? Like, no, that's not going to happen, Mag. Jesus. So in January, we kind of put the heads together and, decided.
So you booked, John booked the flights.
Yeah.
Okay. And which leg, how did you decide on the leg to do?
I had done the Soria to Santiago leg. It's the 115 kilometre leg twice before with different friends. So I sort of knew my way around. So Joanne booked the flights and I booked the accommodation along each leg. And it all worked out really well. And the crack we had along the way and the people we met was incredible.
And had ye ever holidayed just as a fivesome before?
No. And I can safely say at the time I did question that decision when 5 days, and not just 5 days by a pool or 5 days walking together. And I've been asked loads of times since I get back, would you do it again? I was like, absolutely. You know, I think something like the Camino is different because you're not together all the time. So you walk on or you meet new people. It's quite adventurous, and every time you turn a corner, the landscape is different. So, and you know, you're putting a lot of miles on your legs, but you don't feel like you are, you know.
How many miles were you doing a day? How many?
So the shortest day was 18 kilometres and the longest day was 29.
Wow.
But it didn't feel like that. And, you know, we're lucky because we're all quite fit. Mag, who's the fittest, felt her glutes. So if I heard the word glutes again, you know, it was gas. She couldn't believe that she felt muscles that she hadn't felt because she's not used to walking. She does everything else.
Okay.
But we didn't, like, there's people carrying like 17 kg bags on their backs and walking that 29K.
We had our bags shipped ahead
from place to place.
Every day. But one of the highlights was one day was the long day. It was a very hot day and we all liked swimming. So we rocked into this town, walked over a bridge, and we looked jealously at this beautiful flowing river, and we looked at each other and said, Willoughby, yeah, we will.
Thanks.
So we off down to our knickers and t-shirts, and in we jumped in for a
brilliant
swim. Four of us did, to the cheers of our fellow Camino travellers on the bridge, saying, "Come on, Camino sisters!"
And I love it.
And a few people on the way who were sorry to have missed it, particularly to her that we took off some of our clothes.
The word
you know
spread.
What? It's on my list. The Camino has been on my list and on my bucket list, and I've never done it. And people do it for lots of different reasons. You know, people do it to find themselves, to, I think, run away from something, to run towards something maybe as well. For you, what did it give you? What did it bring you? And how was the dynamics between ye on the trip?
Well, for me, it was the idea of spending time with my sisters. And yeah, I was a bit nervous about it, but that all worked out brilliantly, apart from the fact someone robbed someone's HRT. But we won't go into that now.
I don't need HRT, so there's definitely
there's been an inquiry into that. But
for me,
I was at a sort of a bit of a crossroads in my own life, Catherine. I had been working as head of communications with Trocra, an amazing organisation, and I decided to step back and to go into sort of freelance comms consultancy. I'm turning the big 6-0 next year. I've worked really hard for 40 years as a journalist and in communications, and I just wanted to sort of step back a little bit and start to sort of not wind down as such, but just to reappraise. So I spent probably more more time than the girls, I would have broken away a little bit along the walk, and I would have said, listen, girls, I'm going to hang behind and do a few hours on my own just to get into my own head. And I found that really fantastic. And I think Joanne has a great expression. Joanne said she left a load of stuff
baggage behind.
Like
I'm big into mental health, and I'm very aware of the kind of the mental health benefits of being in nature. You know, I'm working on programs. We have a program called Woodlands for Health, and it's about being in the woods. And getting the benefits of that. So for me, I was very in tune with that piece. And I feel that when I came home, I felt lighter. So for me, it was like I either talked out some of the stuff that was going on for me, or I just left it behind or decided. So I was kind of had this vision in my head that like on the leaves and the trees or in the fields were all my troubles, and loads of other people's troubles as well that were walking in front of us and behind us. Like, you know, there was And we met people, like we met a lovely couple actually, Fiona and Kieran, and they were there remembering their brother who'd passed in November, and they had a little teddy bear made of clothes that their brother Seamus had worn on the Camino previously. And I often thought about them, and for every step, I think you could hear the crunch, you know, you can hear the crunch of steps all the time, people in front of you. And they were really, I suppose, celebrating Seamus's life. And I think we all were celebrating parts of our own lives, but also maybe leaving some stuff behind as well, which was lovely.
And what was interesting was when we were kids, the three oldest were in one room and the two youngest in another room. So that was more or less replicated along the Camino. And there was one story told against me that when I was sharing with my two other sisters, I used to force them to give me piggybacks to go to the loo at night time.
I believe
so
it.
lots of funny stories.
Did
like
you
that.
Learn anything new about each other?
For me, the most incredible thing was the change in dynamics. And I really realised where I was the older one, the responsible one, the leader, the one who had to change nappies and feedies. And even when I left home, I was like the second mother. It's a full role reversal. So Joanne and Kathy, the two youngest, would now be the leaders, the responsible ones. They do so much managing. Not that my mother needs full-time care, but she does need support. And they are incredible. And I was the submissive, quiet one. And I'm the one who's leaning on them now, which is a
did
full,
that surprise
full
you, Jo?
I don't know if I've ever heard the word submissive and Miriam in the one sentence before, so I just need to reflect on that. you know what? Yeah, I suppose. Look, I held a kitty, so I was in. I had a little bit of power. It was lovely. So I was. Yeah, I was kind of doing the mammy. I'm big into food as well, so I was kind of saying where we eat, and like I'll go and get the food, and I'll get the coffees. And our sister Louise was kind of saying, "What am I eating for lunch? And what am I eating?" She was like, "I haven't had to make a decision all week, you know."
But that's
what's
great about a trip like that, when you have somebody who relishes taking on that role and you can just leave your brain at the door and follow on, you know, where you're going.
Brilliant.
And somebody's telling you where to walk, where to eat, where to sleep.
And literally carry your bags.
And carry your bags.
And one thing with my sister Kathy, there's only 2 years between us. And when we grew up, like Annie, you know, when you're quite close, and we used to kind of like fight a bit or whatever. And when we turned when we were in our early 20s, we really got close. And what I realised was, and we had a chat about this, was when we were reminiscing, I know all the stories where I was either in her stories or I knew about her stories and she knew about mine. And it was lovely. It was that kind of affirmation, I suppose, that friendship that we have is really strong. And we all have history. The five of us have history together. Like you can't, there's
and
no
I
diluting
think,
that.
No, you know? And I think when you span over the years that you do, there are different times in our lives where we really need our family.
Yes.
And because of your age gaps, there was always somebody that's going to be there to help you through a tough time. I can't let you go. We're way over, but I can't let you go and not mention the brothers. They didn't even get a look in.
The who?
The two brothers.
The
four
so brothers.
Martin,
brothers,
the eldest. The next brother, Ed. Martin is an auctioneer, runs the horse sales. Ed is
you don't have to give them all a plug. Let's just name them.
Mike is a bloodstock agent, and Jim works for Pfizer.
Brilliant. Yeah. Are you going to go away together again, girls?
Yes. We need a break. I'd say a couple of months.
Need a break from each other and then revisit.
I'll become the big bossy sister now again momentarily. I think we'll do another leg of the Camino. There's lots of other parts that we can do over maybe 5 or 6 days.
But Catherine, I would say to you, it's been on your book list. Do it.
I have to do it.
Fabulous. And you know what? Another other thing as well. A lot of people think it's really expensive and it can be done very cheaply. Mm. Flights are quite cheap, accommodation is really cheap and food can be quite cheap. So if anyone's there thinking, oh, it's not accessible to me, it is. If you do a little bit of work,
put the research
it is
in.
Really accessible.
I might put it to my own sister.
Yeah, there
my
you go.
You
let us know how you get on.
Leave the babbies at home and off we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, lovely to chat to
Thank
you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Mag, if you're listening, speedy recovery and you'll be back on your feet and for Everest Base Camp.
Yes.
You want her to come in and tell me all about that.
Okay, we'll arrange that.
We'll arrange it. This track is for you, ladies. Well done.
Woo.